Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm joined by Gavin Croft, the sales team manager and head auctioneer at Bresic Whitney Estate Agents in Sydney. Gavin is going to share with us his background in the real estate industry. We're going to talk about why culture beats strategy in a real estate business, and how Bresic Whitney are redefining real estate. But before we catch up with Gavin, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Console, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.console.com.au.
This week, I'd like to tell you about a little Facebook feature that some of you may not be aware of when you're posting content on your Facebook company page. And the feature is called interest targeting. And what you can do is specify a specific audience on Facebook who are fans of your page. And if you're posting particular types of content, what this feature will allow you to do is make sure that no one else apart from this specific audience gets to see it. So now we're not talking about ads or promoting any content. This is just the regular content that you're posting on your Facebook company page. So what you want to do is be logged into your company Facebook page to do this and go and create a post as you usually would. And just underneath the box where you would type in any text, or if you're posting a video or a photo or a link, just underneath that box there's a little target icon. And when you click on that, you can select to target your content to people based on their gender, relationship status, educational status, age, language, interests, location. And you can also assign a post end date, which will mean that your posts that you're creating will no longer appear on Facebook after a certain period of time. So the way you might use this feature, for example, is if you cover a number of suburbs in your local market and you would like to target specific people in one suburb who are fans of your company page, then you can do that with this feature. So what that will do is essentially show that in those people's news feeds, and it won't show it to anyone else who likes your page. So you can get very specific around the targeting and be a lot more relevant to the people that you need to be. So this is a great feature to get really specific around your Facebook marketing, and I certainly encourage you to go and check that out. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Gavin Croft. Gavin is the sales manager and head auctioneer at Bresic Whitney Estate Agents in Sydney, awarded as the 2013 and 2014 REIA New South Wales Auctioneer of the Year. Gavin describes Bresic Whitney as an innovative and unconventional brand that continually strives to change industry perceptions through offering a unique customer experience. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Josh.
Gavin, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but can you take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of the business?
Sure. I've been in the industry for 14 years, so I've had a combination of corporate roles as well as owning my own real estate businesses. So I've had two of them and have built them up and have ultimately gone on to sell them. I've also been in the role of state manager for two of some of the largest real estate franchise groups. So I've looked after that. And most recently, for the last couple of years, I've been involved with the Bresic Whitney Group. So just to give you a little bit of insight to Bresic Whitney, so we have, at the moment, we have three offices in place. We have one in the inner east in Darlinghurst, and then on the west side, in the inner west, we have an office in Glebe, and we've just opened one in Hunters Hill, which is around approximately 10 kilometres west of the CBD.
Great. So, and do you still sell as well as auctioneering, Gavin?
No, purely. So my role for the last few years has predominantly been head auctioneer and also to build and drive the sales team.
Fantastic. And you were saying just in our little pre-chat before we started the interview that you had 20 auctions on the weekend and 20 sold out of 20.
pretty exciting times. Yeah, absolutely. So probably gives you a feel for the depth of the Sydney market as we speak. But no, it's certainly, you know, when you're doing that sort of, you know, that sort of volume on a Saturday, you've got to make sure all the cogs are running in the machines, and it came to light well on Saturday.
No doubt. Well, for all of our listeners who are wondering, this is being recorded in the middle of February. It may not go live until the start of March. So if they look back at the market in February and they can sort of compare how they were running as well at the same time. But how many staff are across the three offices, Kevin?
Yeah, so we've got across Prestwick Whitney, we've got, I think it's just over 100 staff now. We've got 16 in sales. We've got 29 in sales. 16 of them are senior agents. And then we have 13 developing agents who work underneath and obviously very closely with the senior agent.
Yeah, great. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the areas that you do work and live, can you describe the areas where the office is located, the type of property that you sell or manage? And can you give us an overview, a general overview of what the real estate market has been like over recent years up till today?
Yeah, sure. So if we were to look at the eastern suburbs of Sydney, we'll generally sell from Bondi. Darlinghurst, Surrey Hills and Redfern are primary areas for us where we hold some particularly strong market share. Surrey Hills, I think we had around a 35% market share in that particular market. When we move out to the west, Glebe and further out to, of course, Hunters Hill where we've opened up. We'll soon open up in Balmain, so we found premises, and potentially mid-year we'll be opening in Balmain as well. So generally that style of property is built around apartments. The terrace market is particularly important to us, and we also play particularly strong in the warehouse market as well. So we can start from a studio apartment at $300,000 and move through to a warehouse sale at $5.5 million. So it's fairly broad with what we cover. I'd suggest approximately 55% would be apartment sales and around 40 to 45% would be that style. So just to give you a bit of a feel for the style of property that we have. With reference to the market, I guess to give a fairly good indication as to what it's been like. The last 2 years, we've seen auction clearance rates in excess of 80%. Typically, through a campaign, Josh, we will get somewhere between 80 to 100 groups through a traditional auction campaign. We do approximately 85% of our listings are auctioned. So we saw over the last 2 years, we've averaged well over 40,000 groups through our open homes each year. So I think it's fair to say we've seen plenty of depth in our markets that we operate in over the last 24 months.
Great. And when did the business launch, Gavin? How long has Prestwick Whitney been Prestwick Whitney?
That's been running for 10 years now.
10 years. And in that time, there's been a fair bit of evolution in the brand, no doubt, and things have sort of changed in terms of the brand side of things. And when I was researching for this interview, I discovered the project that you worked on with ThoughtWorks called Innovation Lab. Can you describe what the Innovation Lab is all about and how this has impacted on your business?
Sure. Yeah, so some of the key points of this ThoughtWorks partnership that you talk about relates firstly to the understanding of the role of a real estate agent and how that's likely to change, particularly with the changes that we're seeing in buyer behaviour. So I guess today's consumer, it's very different to that of the consumer 5 and 10 years ago. Today's consumer, they want it now. They want speed. I liken it when you look at examples such as Uber, who I'm sure you would be aware of, Josh. When you see the rise of those sort of services that are available, that sort of technology and how consumers have adapted to it, we sort of see the need to understand how consumers are going to adapt and how they want to buy and sell real estate into the future. So by being able to understand this, I guess we were able to be aware of the value that this would then be able to contribute to our home sellers. So for this, there were two primary pressure points that consistently surfaced in our exploration here. One was the lack of transparency and that consequent frustration around auctions. And the second was the time and the frustration attached in obtaining building and pest, obtaining strata reports, contracts, to be able to make a decision here and now. So interestingly, that second issue that I raised, that was exacerbated by the lack of price transparency. So, for example, if an agent was guiding or quoting 700 parts and the seller and the buyer, it sold for 1.1 million, there wasn't an issue in paying for the building and pest inspection, but it was exacerbated and the frustration came out because there was no acknowledgement that that was a realistic price of between 1 and 1.1. So, you know, there were these real pressure points, as these real frustrations around buyers trying to buy real estate, particularly in the market that we operate under. So as a result, what we did is we developed a product in consultation with ThoughtWorks to allow a buyer at the push of a button to access building and pest, to access strata reports, to access contracts, and of course a price, a guide, to certainly assist them in their decision. So look, for us, there is no doubt, it's a no-brainer that we've improved the buying experience by having this at the point of hand. And what we've seen very, very clearly is that this has accelerated the speed and also the efficiency in the transaction. I'll give you a brief example of that. It was just before Christmas and we had two people. We actually had no one on an auction campaign, which was due to run to auction at 9 a.m. the next day. We had two people inspect the property at 8:30 the evening of the auction. They both went home, they downloaded a contract, they forwarded it through to their solicitor, they downloaded a strata report, building inspection report that night, they reviewed it at 9 o'clock. Their solicitors had had reviewed the contracts, they were ready to bid very confidently that they had all the information at hand and to make a decision. Competitive bidding drove it well past the reserve. Both buyer and seller extremely happy. That there was speed and efficiency, and that's what people want to see, both from a buying and a selling perspective.
Mm. And I think it's important as well to have a look at how this benefits the seller. I mean, it's all focused on the buyer experience, but is it something that you communicate with your vendors as a benefit to them as well? And if so, how does that conversation go, Gavin?
This, again, the real estate industry, we all do something pretty similar. Let's be real about that.
Sure.
I think for the next 2, 3, and 5 years, what's particularly important to the industry is genuinely understanding what is our value proposition. Mm. We do things that are fairly similar. So for us, this is part of a longer-term plan or strategy, if you like, to build a value proposition. So for us, this delivers great value to a home seller. And if we use that specific example, Josh, if those two people weren't prepared to bid at auction, we wouldn't have competition on the day. We wouldn't have been able to drive the price that we achieved without actually having that speed and efficiency in place. Mm-hmm. I think also the important part is it's not only for the buyer and seller, it's also to us as agents. The efficiencies that it brings to us, that we don't have to stand on the emails on a Saturday night and send out 27 contracts. People have that at the touch of a button. Mm. Talked about it in the sales meeting the other day. We couldn't go back.
Mm. I think it's really scary for anyone who's listening, Gavin, who aren't taking the time out of what's quite a buoyant market at the moment in a lot of places around the country and looking at those innovative initiatives. So we had Doug Driscoll on the show a few weeks ago, who's doing some really cool things with augmented reality technology. And I think your example of the collaboration with ThoughtWorks for Innovation Lab is another great example of, if people aren't taking time out of their busy schedule or the sales market to look at those things, they're as you said, you're playing the long game. You're looking at that sustainable brand proposition. And I think it's really scary for people that aren't doing that. They're going to be really an AM radio in a digital world in very short amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And look, we didn't have the expertise to be able to deliver that from the resources that we had. So the engagement of ThoughtWorks is essential to success.
Yeah, great point. I think the collaboration, I think it's happening more and more in our industry, Gavin, not just here in Australia, but a lot in the United States, New Zealand, a lot of collaboration work with third parties to bring these things to life. And I think you can't do it all on your own. You really do have to look outside and bring that expertise in. But, well, Gavin, you say in your profile, quote, development, learning, and open communication provide the leverage to be industry leaders, end quote. Can you give us I guess, a bird's eye view of how Bressick Whitney approaches the ongoing development training for each member of the team.
When you look at development and how we learn, it's widely suggested. Look, in simple terms, you know, they say 10% of what we learn is actually derived from formal training, 20% coaching and feedback, and 70% is from experience and reflection. And this idea of experience and reflection, this is certainly the space we encourage our team to spend their time in. So for us, it all starts with our 16 senior agents that I referred to a little bit earlier, who most have that developing agent who they work closely with. It's generally over a 3 to 4 year period that it takes place. What we do is we give them the time and we give them the experience in front of the market, then the time to review, to reflect and debrief on, you know, what was done well, potentially what they may have done differently, what they have learned. And we spend our time unlocking experiences, and particularly what they come. We get them to try and think for themselves and move away from that concept of a script and dialogue and actually get to think about what actually unfolded there and why. So as an example, and a very simple example might be that a developing agent might be on a phone call to a buyer. And at the end of that particular phone call, the senior agent might just simply ask that developing agent, you know, why were they a buyer? Let's talk about it. And, you know, a communication, an open communication starts opening up as to what's inside and what they're actually thinking and why they're making the decisions that they do. And it's certainly interesting that the answers that you get. And the more you explore and you get, you challenge people to think and you challenge the way they look at things, real learning and real experience takes place. So we've this is what we do day out, and that's just a big part of the day. So you will see this all day at Bressick Whitney. If you were to walk through our sales office, you'll certainly see that. To give you a bit of a feel for the power I think that that has when that's being done well and that's being done on a consistent daily basis. And in the last 12 months, we've had 4 developing agents come out of that development phase and move into a standalone agent. Each of those particular ones, they wrote between $800,000 and $1 million in commission in their first 12 months as a standalone agent.
Wow.
So all of them now, Josh, they've all put in their own developing agents, and make the cycle starts again.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think something that we're all guilty of, doesn't matter what industry you're in, Gavin, we can all fall victim to, the automation and the scripts and dialogues. And I think something that's really important is to talk like a human. And I think stories help us learn. And I think sharing stories of this podcast is a great example. It was one of the reasons why we started that, was to share the stories of people such as yourself. And I think people do learn that way. And I think it breaks down those scripts and dialogues into a conversation and more of a conversation style. And I think it's really important.
Yeah, totally agree. Look, we don't do any formal training, just to give you a little bit of a feel. So rather we just focus on that on-the-job learning and reflection.
Mm.
And it must be consistent, it must be on a daily basis to continually unlock what we do.
Yeah. Well, Gavin, I want to turn the spotlight onto you and moments of your career that made you who you are today. We often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate, but here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time in your career where you've either failed or succeeded. Can you tell us a story? Take us there with you of a moment in your career where you felt like you'd fail. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Yeah. Look, my biggest lesson, I think, in real estate was the concept of allocating responsibility. I can tell you, for a number of years in my early days of my career, of listing and selling real estate, I had many sleepless nights wearing the responsibility of a house not selling. I remember I'd sit up from, you know, it might be 1 a.m. to 3 or 4 in the morning, and things would go through my head thinking, why can't I sell this house? What's wrong with me? And, it used to kill me. I'd accept the blame from a house seller if a property hadn't sold or if the offers weren't at a level that a seller was happy with. I used to take it personally. So I remember I'd sit up from 1 to 4 in the morning and go, what am I doing? Maybe this isn't right for me. And, I can tell you many a time it nearly got the better of me.
Well, take us there with you, Gavin. Is there one particular moment in time, a story that sticks out in your mind of where you were and I guess explain this, help us understand what the situation was like, the property, the deal, the client?
I used to guarantee price ranges at one point in my career. I thought, again, for me, looking after the consumer and giving honest advice was particularly important for me. And I remember a time where I gave a gentleman a range of 565 to 595. It was actually quite bullish, but at the end of the day, I believed I would get it. And I got my first offer was at 560,000, and the seller said, "I'm going to take it," which meant I wouldn't get any commission. And I just, at that time there, that, look, that was okay. I had to stand by what I did. But, you know, it was a low moment. I'd worked particularly hard. There was $18,000 commission on the line. I think if I remember correctly, it was $16,000, whatever it might be. And, you know, I just remember I thought maybe this industry is not for me. And but it was particularly important that I took a really good lesson out of that, which I did. But there was a number of examples where, again, I felt I'd done and I'd worked, you know, I'd worked myself to the bone for people, and that I hadn't got, you know, not the thanks or the acknowledgement that I thought was fair and reasonable at the time. Now, when I finally, worked out for me, it's the seller's responsibility if they want to sell and in what time frame, and it's the buyer's responsibility if they want to buy. For me, my role was to represent the sale, and it was to execute on the strategy that had been agreed upon with the home seller. So the seller, they accept the responsibility for the strategy and for the sale price and for when it sells. And as an agent, then you also push that responsibility back to the buyer when they want to buy. And when I understood this, that this is all about accepting responsibility, it wasn't mine to accept. It was certainly the seller and it was certainly the buyer. And when I got that right and I was comfortable with it and I was happy to let go, that made my real estate experience all the better. My enjoyment went through the roof overnight. It was a big one for me.
Well, let me just take you back. Everyone's probably wanting to know, did you end up taking a commission from that sale?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And how early on in your career was that?
Oh, that was probably about the, I think that was the second year.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So I'd love to break that down for a moment, Gavin, and not a lot of agents or the principal at the time of that particular agent would necessarily, you know, see that as a successful or really want to keep that agent around. I mean, did you end up staying at that particular office for a period of time?
Yeah, I started off in real estate with my father.
Okay.
That's an easier proposition.
You just didn't get dessert with dinner for a few months, hey? Fantastic. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum, Gavin. That was a really good story to share with our listeners. Thank you. Let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about working in real estate? Again, take us there with you. Tell us another story of a moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind? And how did that make you feel?
Yeah, look, it was a big two of the years ago. It was actually a really big decision to join Bressick Whitney. I was very comfortable. I'd been in corporate life for a number of years, and I was quite comfortable. I really enjoyed the work, the experience of working with franchisees, helping them with their businesses. And then I was a part time, you know, I was an auctioneer on Saturdays, and I was very comfortable. For me, the opportunity to come and work with Bressick Whitney was a tough one. I had two young kids and, you know, they're 3 and 4 now, and my wife is very comfortable in Queensland. So to move them to Sydney to join this company was certainly a significant decision for me and particularly for the family. So the big one for me, as soon as I joined Bressick Whitney and you start to immerse yourself in the culture and in this particular organisation, look, I felt I was instantly aligned with that culture and with their desire and their strategy to become market leaders. Their firm and very clear focus on understanding the consumer and the importance of representing someone's biggest asset, that for me, I resonated with very quickly, and that was something that I certainly wanted to be a part of. And I also, I guess, the opportunity to work with both Shannon Whitney and Ivan Bressick, that's been particularly rewarding. And that's been particularly important to me over the last few years.
Yeah, fantastic. So is there a particular deal, a client that you were working with when you first joined the team to, I guess, reinforce the decision you made to bring the whole family from Queensland to Sydney, really solidified that in your mind that it was the right decision to make?
Yeah, it was, I guess like anything, a lot of it comes down to the people. And the one thing that I've certainly enjoyed is the quality of the people that that we work with. There is a very clear mantra here about learning, development around challenge, and that is a very good space to be in. And I probably over the last 5-10 years probably hadn't challenged myself the way I probably wouldn't have preferred to. And over the last couple of years, I've certainly challenged myself both from a leadership perspective and from an auctioneering perspective. So, I've had a dual role of auctioneering, and I've certainly challenged myself there to become the best I can be in that forum, and I've still got a long way to go. And then from a management and leadership perspective, that has been something that has been particularly important for me to unlock and to embrace. And, I felt that journey for me has been one that I've taken some significant growth in. And as a result, I've enjoyed that experience. And, working with those gents, they challenge you day in, day out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. One of my favourite sayings of all time, Gavin, I say it all the time, is you are the average of the 5 people that you spend your most time with. And I think in real estate, it's particularly important. It has to come from the top down. If the leaders haven't got the culture right, then the team doesn't understand the culture. And it really just, it doesn't breed the kind of, I guess, results and long-term view that you guys at Prescott Whitney most definitely, you can tell that it's there and it comes through in the way you're speaking. Go ahead, Gav.
No, I was just going to say, just on that point is, there's a little saying that keeps popping up with reference to your point, and it's a saying that culture eats strategy.
Yeah.
And, I can talk to you about, the ThoughtWorks work that we've done. But again, that will not be successful unless the culture is right, and the sales team won't allow that to flourish and give a better customer experience unless the culture is right. So, with what you just said, it's important. It's critical.
No doubt. Well, I'd love to shift gears, Gavin, and have a look at one particular side of the business. And the 3 biggest challenges every person in real estate faces is marketing their services, and it's either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy of the current clients they have. Can you give our listeners an overview of the marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these challenges at Prescott Whitney?
Yeah, so perhaps maybe starting on the philosophy side. So the way we see it is that as agents, we've all got choices on how we represent someone's biggest asset. The choices we make from how we price it to the sales strategy that we adopt to the way we deal with buyers to the way we run our open homes to the way we run our auctions. They all form part of this thing that we refer to called representation. The market observes how we represent and how we execute the homes we have for sale. When our execution, I guess if that's particularly high and if it's particularly high quality, it's actually not missed by the market and opportunities are created. So as an example, I think there's an old adage with auctions, for instance, I think it's something like quote them low and watch them go. And that's a way we can represent someone's asset and sell to it. But I think what we need to understand is that you might have 42 registered bidders at an auction, but you're going to have 35 of them who are pretty, with you. And that's about representation. How are you going to represent property and the decisions we make day in, day out, whether it's how we deal with someone at an open home or through a callback, they are critical at each stage as to how we build our business and what opportunities come back to us. So that for us that's a big part of the game we play. From a marketing perspective, I think we've certainly made a transition, Josh, from a traditional real estate office to like what we call an integrated property services lifestyle group. So a lot of the content and the information we provide now, we want it to be interesting, and we want it to add value to people's lives. We want people to engage with the brand, and we want them to spend their time in this way when they're not transacting with us. So to give you a feel for us, we stopped our letterbox dropping around 6 months ago. For us, that that doesn't add value to someone. That annoys people more than what it adds value to people's lives. And if we're serious about becoming, you know, a real lifestyle group in the inner city market, you know, that was something that today's consumer, they don't want to be communicated to in that way. So for us, we made a conscious decision that we wouldn't engage our audience in that particular medium. Just to give a bit of a feel for some of the decisions we've made to support that particular line that we've taken.
Sure. And that's really interesting. A lot of people listening would Gavin, I mean, there's forever and a day, there's training and all sorts of education in the industry around letterbox dropping and direct mail and that sort of thing. What's from a company that stopped letterbox dropping altogether, what did you replace that with? And I guess maybe just break that down for listeners of what you replaced or substituted the letterbox dropping or the direct mail with.
Yeah, so we haven't been particularly strong on the social media platforms. So in the last, I think it's the last 6 months now, we've actually employed a marketing manager, very highly credentialed, who have joined the organisation to drive that side of the business. So, our photography, our imagery, the way we engage our audience through our social media platforms and our internet platforms is particularly important to us. Our photography is very different. So if you were to jump on the Breast Equity website and have a look at the photography, it's not traditional. The concept is around evoking emotion is first and foremost. It's about engagement and it's about tapping into people's lifestyles and engaging through that way. It's certainly a big part in the direction as to where we're heading.
So what sort of content would you share? If we just maybe just a couple of examples on, let's say, for example, social media, what sort of content are you sharing? Just a bird's eye view of the sort of stuff that you're putting out there.
So it's an article that we've sent out to our audience is, for instance, the role that art plays in our lives and how that connects with real estate and the spaces that we're in. So, that's one particular example that we've put out a piece and, you know, I think it was one of our most read. So we send out to around 11,000 consumers when we send out a piece, a communication piece. I think that was broadly read by around 5,000 of them. And that's interesting. That's different. And that's certainly not a typical real estate article.
I think it's really important that people listening take that very seriously. Is digital marketing is very measurable, and when it's measurable, it's telling stories of people's engagement with your brand, and that's not something you can get from traditional offline. It's not saying that you should replace all of your offline marketing or direct mail altogether, but certainly what you've taken is a much more measurable approach. But in your particular office, direct mail just doesn't seem to fit into the mission statement of the brand. Yeah. And something as well that I think is really important that our listeners take out of what you've just said in that segment there, Gavin, really is you're looking at the whole experience of real estate and real estate services as opposed to sales, property management, body corporate, and so on. And I think something that our listeners can take out of that is today everything is marketing and marketing is everything. And I think traditionally advertising would be sort of talked about as the be all and end all of selling a property, but I think really you've got to look at that whole experience. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it's all about. Yeah. Really to evoke emotion and engage them.
Gavin, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Mobile Behaviour Report by Salesforce Marketing Cloud. It found that 46% of consumers say that brands do not provide meaningful content on social media. I think this is a timely reminder to consider what value you're providing to your fans and followers who aren't interested in buying or selling property, and I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Gavin, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes, ready to go.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Look, I'll go more recently and I'll choose two. Ivan Bresic and Shannon Whitney, certainly both I both had that ability to challenge and make them think, so which certainly leads to growth, which has been particularly important.
What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Yeah, look, I've got two passions in life. You give me an option to call and I'm the happiest man alive. I also have two kids, 3 and 4, and, you know, they are my world. So when I'm not involved in real estate from a management or from an option perspective, the kids are certainly a big part of it.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
A book called Leadership Agility. When I read this, the penny dropped for me as to what leadership is and I guess how different leaders behave and the impact of that behaviour. And I guess where I sat on that particular spectrum, I learned a hell of a lot reading that book.
What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
This is the first time I've used Skype, so, you know, I actually don't, and you might find that unusual. Again, this is the first time in my life I've used Skype, so for me, I might use YouTube. That might be the extent to look at different ways that auctioneers are portraying themselves currently would be something I spend a fair bit of time with, but that's about it.
Not sure. That's a perfectly acceptable answer, Gavin. That's no worries. Now, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Yeah. Sometimes I think that people don't truly understand what it takes to succeed in this industry. The toil, the hard work, the real deep understanding of qualifying a buyer or a seller or, you know, representing someone's biggest asset. And I think that gets lost in the industry, that this is someone's biggest asset. And the decisions we make and the strategies that we recommend shouldn't be treated lightly. And, you know, it's hence why people here spend 3 to 4 years before we actually send them out to list and sell real estate. It's a mammoth task that you're undertaking and it's particularly important. So your ability to learn and unlock the game before you go and list someone's biggest asset for me is paramount.
That's really interesting. I had no idea that that was the case. So if you have a new staff member coming along, on average they're spending a fair bit of time in the office before they're allowed out in the field.
They deal with buyers for the first 12, 18 months, 2 years.
Okay.
Servicing buyers, understanding buyer behaviour, qualifying the buyer, because when you understand the buyer and you understand the market, you're simply communicating it to the seller.
Mm.
Once our developing agents understand those concepts, they can take that into the market. But when you don't understand it and you're guiding someone and you're offering strategies and you're giving advice around the market, it's unfair if you don't truly understand it.
Mm. Well, Gavin, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Yeah, sure. Look, for me, it's success is a journey, not a destination. I would have spent the first 10 or 12 years of my life thinking that I have reached where I wanted to reach in real estate. And I certainly got to levels of comfortability when I'd set certain goals that I never looked at it as a 20 or 30 year journey. For me now, I've only started to look at it that way in the last 2 or 3 years, and that's been rewarding. That's been challenging, and that's certainly opened my eyes as to the way I make decisions and the way I go about approaching things from now. It used to be about, yeah, let's do it, let's get it done, let's move on. Now it's how well can I do it? That's a part of a building block that to something bigger. And I'm looking at it that way, so I'm certainly looking at things differently by taking that mantra into things.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Gavin has shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/GavinCroft. Well, Gavin, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and stories today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Bressick Whitney?
Sure. My email is Gavin, G-A-V-I-N, at gavin@bressickwhitney.com.au. Google it, you know how to find. You can find anyone these days.
Fantastic. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your time, mate.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.